of work around the world. See, we need to do this. We need to pray about it, and we need to work on it. We need to fight to preserve it, especially in these last days as it gets harder to do so. So what does the word say? Open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What does the Bible say about the last days? I just want to read a portion of scripture that talks about the last days. You know, a lot of the word is prophecy, right? Hasn't happened. So that's talking about also the last days. But this one literally says, in the last days. I mean, for people like me who need to have it spelled out, I love this. It's like, thank you. That's what I needed. I wasn't quite sure, but now I know. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So read a portion of scripture. I'm going to read the whole chapter. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Look at this right here. And by the way, that's talking about, mostly right there, is talking about church people. Uh-oh. Stay away from people like that. Explanation point. Paul, thank you. Verse 6. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just like Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. Who are you following? I'm going to stop here for a second. Who are you watching? What preachers are you listening to? Man, just because they got skinny jeans, fog machines, don't make them anointed by God. Just because they got massive churches, are they listening and preaching God's full gospel that sin is been broken by the power of Jesus and sin is still wrong and hell is still hot and people are still going there? Are they preaching that? It's not just about great smiles, plastic surgery, and words that make you feel good about yourself. Paul didn't sit around in prison so you could pat yourself on your back. Woo. All right, verse 9. But they won't get away with this. Ooh, come on, for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as Jannes and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Amen. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Make sure you underline that in your Bible. It'll be your favorite one for the week. Verse 13. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. You know you can trick your mind so much that you actually believe what you just said? You know you can be such a habitual liar that you can lie and lie and lie and actually believe it yourself and forget that it was a lie? That sounds like politics. All right, moving on. Verse 14. Woo! I'm still in the river. Okay, verse 14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. you know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God. I want to stop there and give you Greek. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's the Greek. God-breathed. What else did God do when he breathed? You're here because he breathed. The whole world and everything in it. All the stars in the sky, every galaxy, anything that big old Hubble telescope can see and it can't see, God did it with a breath. All Scripture is breathed, God breathed, and is useful to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I want to read that last couple verses real quick and apply that to your life right now. Apply it to voting. Apply it to the nation. Apply it to 2020. Apply it to your life right now. All Scriptures and God breathed and useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. There's so many things we could touch on that the world, that we have been so inundated from the world that we forget that it's actually a sin. Living together, that's a sin. You're not married. If you're having sex outside of marriage, that's a sin. If you're bound by anything other than the love of God, that's a sin. If you love anything more than God, that's a sin. If you worship anything, especially your money, more than God, you are sinning, right? If you slander people, if you gossip about somebody, you are sinning. It breaks God's heart. If you say bad things about people, if you put it on your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, you are sinning. God's word says these are sins. Amen? But here's the thing. It's not to condemn you. It's to set you free from it. If you're living together, get married. You're living like it anyway. If you can't keep your mouth shut, you can't keep off of Facebook or other things, put your phone down. Put it in time out. Put yourself in time out. Shut your mouth, get in your prayer closet, and listen. About time you shut your mouth and open your ears. You got two ears, one mouth, right? If you're bound by sin, confess your sin to someone else and that you can be healed. The righteous prayer of someone else is powerful and will accomplish exactly what it was called to accomplish. If you need to expose evil, expose the evil, especially if it's your own. Hallelujah. I thank God that he reminds us of our sin. And I'm reminded the blood. See, we heard this one time that the blood of God covers the sin, and oftentimes we reach in and we pull our sin right back out under the blood. Think about that. Say there's this river of blood flowing, and you've just given this to God, and you're set free from it, but then you love it more than God, and you reach in that flow, and it covers you. You pull it back out and go off. You could be reminded of the blood. Think about that. The blood covers the sin, not so you can keep on doing it. And it says, we read it last week, so you can keep going on sinning. Of course not, Paul tells us. It's so that way you can be free from it. That's what the blood does. It's the freeing blood. God's grace is amazing, but don't get caught up in the greasy stuff. The inspired word of God, the God-breathed word. The Bible is not merely a book that contains the word of God. No, it is the word of God in its sum and in its parts. All Scripture is transcendent of human inspiration. The Bible is not the product of elevated human consciousness or enlightened human intellect. They didn't have this epiphany and all these people through all these generations all of a sudden write together. No, it was and it is directly breathed from God himself. This isn't taught very often. That's why people believe they can believe in anything. There's one way to God, and it's through Jesus. Jesus only. Right? Okay, Oprah, y'all hear that? Okay, let's move on. I'm flowing. I might be in like a fork in the road on that river, but I don't know. Seriously, you got to listen to, who are you listening to? Who are you worshiping? Are they preaching the true gospel of Jesus? And maybe you don't know because you don't read the word. You don't know that that's not the word. Get in the word. Get in a Bible study. Come on a Wednesday night. Get in one of the classes that God has. Get a little bit deeper. You can only go higher when you get deeper. You know the skyscrapers of this world, the only way that they're high is they're almost that high down low. They got to go down so they can hold the weight of up high. And you cannot go high unless you go low. The Bible was written from different points of view, different authors. But it was nothing to do with private opinion of the writer. Each writer was moved by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some of them were even full of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, in this God-breathed word in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, people will be all kinds of self-centered and unnatural perversions will come out of them and around them. Some will maintain an outward presence, speaking the vocabulary of Christianity, but refusing the reality that Christian faith expresses. The power that will be denied is the heart of Christianity. The fact of a risen Redeemer, the truth of the inspired word of God, the indwelling and the overflow of the Holy Spirit working within and transforming believers and their lives. You know the way that you know that you're saved? A lot of people question if they're saved. Here's the way that you know you're saved. You're different. If you're different than when you first said, Jesus, come into my life, and you continue to be different, then I say that you're saved. As long as you're different according to looking like Christ. If you're still acting, doing the same things, got the same attitude, I beg to say you are not saved. Because people who meet Jesus, they're changed. Fact. Done. End. Don't get around that. If you get around Jesus, you will be different. The end. That's it. And the more you walk with him, the more you learn things from him, and the more things you learn from him, the more you're going to act and look like him. Walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. Janus and John Brace, who are those people? JJ team. Hallelujah. They were false prophets. They were false teachers. We got a lot of those. They were Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses because of their selfish and perverted minds. In the last days, the religious imposters like Janus and Jambres will steadily become worse and worse and worse and worse. Jesus prophesied about it. Even his church will be divided. Jesus, the one that we all worship, the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, Jesus himself told us half the churches will lose their way. They'll forget about their lampstands. They'll forget the preparation. First open Bible. I implore you, do not lose your way. Do not fall into the teachings of this world. Do not fall into Egyptian magicians who can dazzle your eyes and tickle your ears. Now I'm preaching. See, there's going to be more and more of these religious imposters. All believers will suffer persecution in opposing these imposters. But in the last days, we'll find stability and strength in his holy scriptures. This is how you will stand. This is where you know where to stand. This is when you know when to speak up. This is know when to be quiet. This is when you know when to get on your knees and when you know to get in the voting booths. November 3rd. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a good sport. November 3rd. Okay. Church, I am here again today to remind you to remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Not from the world, but from the word. Amen. The things you should say that are right and wrong, and the things that you should do that are right and wrong, come from the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Me too. Awesome. We just become best friends. All right. The Word of God will give you wisdom. It'll help you realize what is wrong in our lives and what is wrong in the lives of others. If we come together, we can see Judeo-Christian values advance. Yes, even in America again, because we must be kingdom-minded to be politically prepared. When it comes to voting, we don't vote parties, we vote principles and policies. This election, right? I guess I did wear blue. I was gonna say, I didn't wear a color on purpose, but my pants are blue, sir. But if you're just flowing with a color and a party and an animal, you're not flowing with the kingdom. Flowing with a kingdom, but not the kingdom. Every election, we've never had a perfect candidate. Never. No matter how much our history books idolize certain people and forget to leave people out, no one has ever been perfect. But Christ-following people should recognize we are in the last days, and they should look at what God says is right and vote principles, not parties. This is not a popularity contest. This is not about siding with a party. Voting has been and should always be about principles. Church, say principles, please. And if you are a Christian, you should vote the best to your ability, godly principles. Principles that are found in the inspired, God-breathed Word of God to advance His kingdom. So what are some things Christians should consider when it comes to voting? This is where you get your paper out as I do the last section of this sermon. Take some notes. So what are some things Christians should consider when it comes to voting? What kind of things would be important and close to God's heart in these last days? I've listed six different things. This does not encompass everything, but I wanted to kind of break down certain things and talk about certain things right now. The first one is this: it's always Jesus over a party. Jesus over a party. The media uses this stereotype that if you're an evangelical Christian, you must vote Republican. And here's a stereotype as well, that if you're in a minority, you must vote Democrat. That's what they turn on, CNN, Fox News, ABC, they're all divided. Man, after the debate, I saw things on ABC that didn't line up with Fox. Completely different. Man, I thought this was news, not opinion. See, forget all that, Republican and Democrat. Forget all that. Think on higher things. And remember, it's always about God's kingdom over any party, preference, or person. You are a Christian above all things. We are God's body above all things. We are the church. Don't forget it. Christians are of a different political party. We're of a different race. Some of y'all know that. You're like, oh, yeah. You don't fit in. I know that. We're of a different people group. We stand up for righteousness. We stand against sin. We stand against injustice above any other thing. The things we fight for and the things we fight with are not of this world. They're spiritual things. 2 Corinthians reminds us in chapter 10, verse 4, it says this: the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We can vote spiritual and not emotional. We're not only capable, we're equipped to do that. Remember to always vote the kingdom over any king. Number two, faith over fear. Gotta have faith. That's not a Christian song, is it? Faith over fear. He had it right, though. Pray for him. All right. Faith over fear. That must have been from the Lord. Or not. I don't know. That's flowing out of a different river. What's going on? It's like the Congo, and there's all these rivers coming together, and eventually it's going to get to that main one. Okay. Faith over fear. How many times have you heard in a conversation this year or out of your own mouth, I'm afraid who's going to be put into office? Oh man, I'm really afraid if that person gets it. Just remember, as a believer, even if the person in a position we didn't personally vote for and they make it into a position of authority, we need to remember we have God who is sovereign in and over all authority. Psalm 118:8 says this, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Somebody like that in here. Somebody like that. If you like that, say hallelujah. That's God's word. Don't you love when God's word just gets you going? You're like, ooh, you feel it? Like you got to do something with your body when you read it? Anybody else sit around and do that? I do this a lot. And I'm like, feels good. Nobody else? Okay. We can still hang out. Hallelujah. God controls more than just Cedar Rapids. God controls more than just Iowa. God controls more than the United States of America. God controls more than North America. God controls the entire globe and every star that he breathed. There's not one decision or result that has not been filtered through God's divine plan. Not one. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is like a stream, come on, there it is, of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever God, he pleases. Hey, if God can control Pharaoh, remember that guy who ruled most of the world at that time? Even with that cool chin beard thing? Remember that guy? If God can control Pharaoh and work through his bad and evil decisions, God can do it for the United States of America in 2020. Amen? So don't put all your hope and trust in a politician, because at the end of the day, that person's accountable to God and God is sovereign over all. Number three, prayer over pouting. Why me? Prayer over pouting. I never get my way. Sound like anybody in here? Sounds like you, Pastors. Okay, all right. Jeez. Truth will set me free, I guess. How many Christians pouted because they didn't get their way when President Obama was in for 8 years? I'm just gonna step on some toes. Why not? Some even said, I'm not gonna pray for him. I won't honor him. I won't support him. Some Christians do it now for President Trump. Ooh. See, I wonder if the church or the world started this hashtag. Hashtag not my president. Wow, that's a great witness. You know what it's really done? All that pouting, what it's actually done? It's exposed your heart and your flawed character. That's what it's done. You know what is more important than your vote? Your character and your attitude. Are you showing Christ through your feelings? See, it doesn't matter who's in office. That man is your president. He is my president. I've been alive since 82. And thankful and praying for all presidents, no matter what, because my God can do more than I can do. And nothing gets done by pouting. Nothing. Name one thing. Name it. Something constructive that happened in pouting. Uh-huh. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge you. That's important. I urge you. I stand with Paul right now. I urge you, church. First of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede. That means step in the gap. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them. pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we will live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Come on. Pray this way for kings, little k, and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Praise God. We have the biblical responsibility to pray for everyone in office. It doesn't matter if you don't like them. It doesn't matter if you didn't vote for them. Quit pouting. Quit drinking milk. Chew some meat. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray they live a life of integrity. Pray for them. Pray that they'll make decisions that are going to protect us, guard us, govern us, and guide our country. Pray that. Pray for their hearts and their character. Pray that they align with God and they align with his word. And pray this. This is super important. Pray this. That God will turn a Saul into Paul again. Amen? Even if he needs to be knocked off his horse and blinded for 3 days and get some nasty stuff on his eyes that fall off like scales. I don't even want to see that. Like, oh, what is that? I'm going to pray for you down here in the name of Jesus. Something going on with that. Knock him off his horse to meet you, God, so you can change his name and change his ways. Number four, talking about candidates and character. How about character over charisma? See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the what? So don't get caught up in how persuasive someone can be. Especially when the candidate focuses mostly, this is key, church. If the candidate focuses mostly on feelings and not facts, you have a problem. We must be people of discernment, especially in the last days. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. It should not be about personality or great communication. It should be about decision-making with character. It needs to be about honesty and integrity. Has this candidate had a track record of being truthful and honest? Does this candidate have a level of self-control? This is live, this is recorded, and it can be sent to anyone. Hallelujah. It's not on Twitter though. Okay, Galatians 5:22-23, what just happened? Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So how does this candidate deal with people? How does he deal with them? Or she? I'm not just talking president here. There's a lot of people and a lot of positions and a lot of authority. What are their moral convictions? What does this person promote and push as their agenda? As best as you can tell, does this person's life line up at all with Scripture? Now, I know this is extremely hard because we're talking about politics for crying out loud. Right? Somebody laughs because you know. But seriously, think about it. Remember this. They're in a position because they're there to represent us. They're there to serve us. Do you remember that? They're in a position of authority because we got them there. If you didn't like them there, then you should have done something about it. It's a little quick lesson there. I want to just do a real fast lesson too. Did you know that Republicans and Democrats have switched so many times through the 244 years or however long they've been around on their positions and their strengths? Did you know that? Look it up. Who supported the Civil War? Who was against slavery? Who wasn't? Just look it up. Who was 100 years ago, who was for big corporations, who wasn't? You'd be surprised. It's flip-flopped so many times. That's why the word says, do not be controlled of the teachings of this world. It says you'll be tossed back and forth as if you're in waves. So the things you may believe in right now probably wasn't the stance of that same party 100 years ago. It was the exact opposite. That's why you can't be involved with parties. You vote policies. What's important to you? What's important to God, right? Don't just vote right down the thing. You don't even know what you're voting on. Anyway, okay, that's this one. Number five, we as God's people should value information over ignorance. Excuse me. We as Christian voters can be ignorant. Or should I say, I'm wrapping this up, I'm getting close. We can be ignorant, or should I say this, lazy. Many won't even take time to put in due diligence and look into the candidates' agendas, their policies, and their worldview. Well, that's how we always voted, or that's what that person votes, or I really respect that person, and that's how they vote. No, you didn't even look it up yourself. This election becomes increasingly divided, not as much as it has to do with parties, but this election is divided by worldview. The things the candidates want to push and promote for our country, does it line up with our biblical worldview? Does it line up with what Scripture says is right and what is wrong? Now, I talked in depth a little bit last week on a few of these. I added one or two because God put this on my heart, but I'm just going to hit them quick, and if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a Scripture to read. Okay? What candidates are for freedom of religion? It's possible one day we'll have to do this in my basement. Do you want that? You're going to have to take turns because I don't have that big a basement. Please shower before you come. Thank you. Hallelujah. Sarah said, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I said, amen. What candidates are for freedom of religion? Romans 1:16. Who believes in the sanctity of life? Who is pro-life? Psalm 139. Okay. Who believes in the sanctity of the family? Husband and wife, man and woman, XX chromosome, XY chromosome, getting together, having children. God's way, Genesis 2:24. Who is pro-Israel? God's chosen nation. The Old Testament, okay, and most of the New Testament. Who is for justice and reconciliation? Right? You might care for the unborn, amen? But do you care for the born? I don't want to see babies dying. What about the children and the teenagers and the adults and the senior citizens? You stand in the gap because you don't want to see abortion pushed, but do you stand in the gap of the ones that are already alive that are suffering too? Because Jesus does. Proverbs 31:8-9. And here's one I want to hit on real quick before we go to the last thing and we get close to wrapping up. Who is for the less fortunate? Who stands up for the poor? Who stands up for the widows? Who's standing up for the orphans? Because according to God, that's extremely important. It's a commission from Him. Who is stepping in for the inner city kids that don't have things to eat? Who's stepping in for the kids that are getting in gangs because they don't have a family? Who's stepping up for the ones that are down and outcast because they have so much sin or bondage in their life they don't know how to get out of it? Who's putting more people in maybe places where they can get set free instead of just sending them off to jail? Like who is for those things to get people free? See, a lot of times we go, well, that's the church's job and that's not the government's job. Then do it, church. And if you're not going to do it, team up with the government, put people in positions of authority with a lot of money that can do a lot of things that maybe we can't do. Put them in there, especially if they have a mind of Christ. Set them in there. Oh, Lord, I'm going to vote them all the way. I'm going to get everybody I can. I'm going to put all these signs in a bunch of people's yards illegally. I can't wait. You know, I'm just joking. But you're just going to go out and you're going to do a bunch of stuff to get it there because you want to see something advance. Care for the ones that can't care for themselves. Do you remember being saved? Do you remember when you needed rescued? Then remember the other ones that need rescued. Proverbs 19:17. Lastly, here's a huge thing. Huge. It's close to God's heart. Unity over uniformity. Unity over uniformity. What's the difference? Uniformity says this: we all become the same. You better look the same, talk the same, do everything the same, 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 wear the same clothes. Everything, same, same, same. That's what the world constantly wants. Same, 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 every, right? I was just talking about this last night, I think. And I said, you know, it's funny, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. Sorry, Portland, Oregon. But everybody is so different. So different, embrace the weird, right? They have all these like crazy stuff, but they all look the same. They're all like crazy the same. Like everybody's just, a lot of times we just try to mold into the same. But God wants unity over uniformity. There's a lot of Christians being used by the devil right now. They're creating division in the body of Christ. How are they doing it? They're doing it by the way they choose to vote, the way they choose to voice their political views. They're doing it by their ungodly actions and their ungodly words. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this: I appeal to you. I'm speaking to you. I'm talking to you right now. Dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I marry people, I say, by the authority of Lord Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you husband and wife. And at that moment, what happens? Yes, they kiss, but what happens? At that moment, before we send out, before we send out that documentation to somebody sitting behind a desk somewhere that stamps it, makes it official, it's already official, right? There's a power and authority. So listen to this. There's power and authority behind this, okay? I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and in purpose. Now you may kiss your neighbor. No, just joking. It's COVID. Don't do it. It's weird. It does say greet with a brotherly kiss, but not during COVID. Let's wait till next year. Thank you. In order to be a believer, you have to put your faith, trust, life, and preferences in Jesus Christ. You have to accept the free gift of forgiveness and believe Christ died on the cross for your sins and that he was raised from the dead. Amen? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for you and that he was raised from the grave, and you shall be saved. Just because someone may vote differently than you does not mean that they don't love Jesus. They may see the world from a different point of view than you do. They may have policies that weigh heavier on their life than they weigh on your life. When did the church allow this ridiculous concept that the world preaches? Look at me, church. If we don't agree, we must be enemies. What a lie of the devil. But the church, we keep believing it. See, God wants unity, not uniformity. He wants the body of Christ, not a body part of Christ. You are a Christian above all, over any political party, any personal preference, over the color of your skin, over your background, over your language, over your mindset, and over your age. Anything and everything, you are a Christian above all. You are a part of God's family. So your political preferences is not worth destroying your friends and your family. It is not worth it. It's not worth creating disunity and judging people's Christianity. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this: so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Ye without sin, cast that first stone. Don't allow politics or this election to hurt the body of Christ. I implore you, church. In some of the darkest hours we've seen, especially since we've seen in our lifetime, however old you are in here today, with such disunity, such divide, to the mere fact of even the color of our skin that you can't change, There's so much division, and I implore you, church, to be unified, even in the midst that you might not vote the same, even in the midst that you don't support the same party. You are a Christian. You are the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter what you look like or how you vote. It matters that his kingdom will reign here on earth as it is in heaven. And may you be a part of that. And whatever personal preference that makes you upset, may you fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness. Unify as one, because right now the world is dividing. It's going quickly. Sin is celebrated and people's division is all over. And only in these times, in the last days, will the church see a revival through unity. When we unify together, different parties, political parties, different positions, different color of our skin, different ages, different places we grew up. I grew up in Oregon. There's only one other person in here that probably grew up in Oregon. But you still love me anyway. It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus unifies us as one body. And all over the world, they're going to divide, and the church is going to stand in unity, and revival's going to come. And people out there of all color, of all nations, of all whatever, languages, of all generations are going to come in here and say, what is going on? And we're going to say, it's the Spirit of the living God that unifies us. It's Christ crucified. It's his kingdom advancing. We are here together with one mind, one body, one thought for one purpose, and that is to worship our King, that he receives all the glory, all the praise, no matter what we look like, no matter where we came from, no matter if we had an argument in the parking lot, we're coming in here and praising, and before the praise is done, we're coming and we're reconciling. Why? Because we are God's chosen people. We're his kids. Amen? So whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink, I know some of y'all think about that, it's getting late. Or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Read this with me. So, read it with me, ready, ready? So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it for all the glory of God. Okay, you said it. Now you are responsible for it. You're welcome. In the last days. Worship team, can you come? Worship team, can you come? In the last days. Church, say in the last days. We are in fancy. We are in danger of losing the freedoms we have learned to cherish. If you're 50 or older, you will recognize what I'm about to say. Freedom of religion. Freedom of speech. Freedom of the press. Freedom to choose our children's education. The right to bear arms. Come on, Midwest. Woo! Right? Hunters up there going, yeah! The deer must die! Jeez, buddy. I added part of that. You're welcome. But seriously, the right to bear arms, the right to be safe and protected, it goes on and on and on. And these, secretly, you don't know, but they're on the ballot. They're on the ballot. Don't find out when it's too late. Study. Pray. Vote. So as we get ready to vote, see, our freedoms are often dictated by our leadership. Amen? Democracies are awesome. They are. Because if I wouldn't even be preaching this if we live in a kingdom. Whatever the king says and the queen says, that's what goes. If you go up to the king and he says, you're dead, you are dead. Take all their land. They take all your land. Distribute all their children and assets. That happens. We live in a democracy. Praise God for a democracy. So freedoms are often dictated by our leadership, and of course we determine our leadership by educating ourselves on the issues, and then we vote. So as you get ready to vote, Let's vote the inspired word, God-breathed word of God and its principles. Amen? I'm going to say this last thing. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. We're going to worship and we're going to go out and we're going to change the world because the world changer lives in us. Amen? Change the world. You don't like the world the way it is? Change it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Be led by him. He wants to change it too. You don't think he does? He does. If he didn't, rapture would happen right now. Whoop! Here we go. Because where biblical principles reign, biblical values will govern. Where biblical principles reign, biblical values will govern. So everyone can enjoy security, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and the blessings of God. If you want any information, we have some information on our information center desk right out there as you go. If you'd like some of that, some Christian companies sent it to us. None of them are sponsored by any of the parties. None of them are sponsored by anything like that. It is just Christian things. They broke down different things that we're voting on. If you'd like one of those, feel free to grab them. There's three different ones. Feel free as you go to grab one of those if you want. Study principles, study worldview, study what the person stands for, study what they're pushing for, and sometimes they might tickle your ears with what they're saying, but what is their track record? Look behind them. Hear what they're not saying. Ask the Holy Spirit for discernment and vote to the best of your ability, and then drop it there and worship the King, King of Kings. May he lead the other kings and the queens. Will you stand, church? Father, we love you and we thank you. We worship you. We have faith in you. We know that you are a sovereign, which means you're over all. And I ask that right now, that in our lives, may Christ be crucified and may be preached from our lips and our lives. Not only Christ crucified, but Christ redeemed, set free of death and running out of that grave, God, that we are set free because he has set us free from the bondage of sin and sickness and disease and anger and frustration and personal preference, that we be united through the Spirit of God with one body under one Spirit, worshiping our Lord Jesus. May we vote to the best of our ability and leave it in the hands of you. Lord, we love you, we trust you, we believe in you, and we thank you. God's children said, amen.